I think that will come closer to answering your question.
Well, I think it would be real closer, because I've been doing I have plenty of anecdotal evidence from
I want to get your hard facts.
Over at Eaton.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes an awful lot of when I go up and buy a coffee or an ice cream and leave out with my wife, it takes an awful lot of to change the average large scale.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the question the residents have asked me. Mm-hmm. How much cars, how are they going to handle it, time and time again? And if you tell me that the sales revenue per car trip is going to be an astronomical number, then that's fine. I mean,
okay.
It is.
Right. I will get that data and bring it to you.
But I think it's important that we know what the traffic impact is going to be on an area larger than just Orange Place and Harvard. I'd like to know what it's going to be on Brainerd and on Harvard going east of Brainerd and on Brainerd going north and south.
And
we need that information. Can we get it?
And the other side is on the traffic.
Wait.
I can't hear his answer.
Let Mr. Schweikert answer.
You can't leave me alone up here.
Yeah, you do have that information now. It's in the report, and it's available to your village engineer.
Can you look it up and just...
All the way,
not now.
All the way up to Miles?
I know what that answer is. It's a level of service C. I just had talked to you. C.
All the way up to Miles Road?
It's better in some places, yes.
But you guys measured it all? It's in this report all the way up to Miles Road?
No, it's at the intersection of Harvard and Brainerd.
Okay,
as we get farther away, then the traffic dissipates.
Okay, but
farther out.
But
you guys
haven't actually put that in a report anywhere, correct?
It's in the latest information to the village.
All the way up to Miles.
It's as a statement that we have made that says that we don't have actual levels of service, but we know and we've stated that the volumes from that intersection at Harvard, then the amount of traffic dissipates, so it's not putting as much traffic through other intersections farther away as it does at the intersection.
I understand it's not going to have as much at Miles as it has at Harvard and Brainerd, but I'm still curious as to how much it's going to have at Brainerd and Miles, and that's something that I know that I've asked for, and I know the mayor's asked for this, and we keep asking for this, and you know, Mr. Lemansky said we get that, and you know, it's...
We'll get it for you.
I understand it's not necessarily the typical, the norm in order to get a traffic study that far, but I think when we're talking about a small village with, you know, streets that, you know, such as Brainerd that aren't necessarily meant to have a huge bunch of traffic and already have some traffic problems, mm-hmm. I think that's a very important thing for you guys to bring to us and for us to stop having to ask you to bring to us.
Okay.
Because it's beating a dead horse, to be quite honest. We're asking for this, and that's all we want.
I have not heard a specific intersection being requested of me to beyond there.
Look, that's actually incorrect. We had that discussion two meetings ago when you were here. That's something that I brought up. That's something that you said you were going to look at. Something that was again addressed at the last meeting. When I spoke to Mr. Lewansky, he said he was going to talk to you about that.
Okay,
so this is... No, I'm telling you, we had this discussion. I remember this. I very, very much remember this conversation. This is... been a little bit of my beef the entire time is I want to know what the traffic is going to be on specifically Brainerd, but also Lander all the way up to Miles, because in a small village, I think it's important, and you have the surrounding communities that, you know, have a pretty well off, you know, a large population who is well off, and it's, I guess, a little bit of fear that, you know, chagrin and sullen traffic is going to be coming right through Brainerd, mm-hmm. right through Lander, and that's what I want, and I'm asking you right now.
Gotcha.
Very specifically, I don't want just a vague statement, oh yeah, it's going to dissipate. I want something more specific.
Okay. You'll get it.
If you take a look at this income map, it clearly shows all the income is going to be coming from Solon, Chagrin, Moreland, Pepper, and which was going to funnel through the village. And I didn't generate this. Case did for me.
Right.
So,
I understand.
And so... the idea that the traffic is going to come from equally from all directions, based on what you're telling me is the targeted customer, which we never got the income for, it's going to come from half the circle, which says the traffic is going to be potentially horrific.
Hey, Mrs. Cluter.
Thank you. Thank you. Next week we have a public hearing, and The residents will be coming to a town hall meeting.
Can we be clear about the word public hearing?
A town hall meeting,
yes.
Where the residents will be hopefully coming because we've let them know. And the questions I absolutely am getting is traffic. And believe me, I am really concerned about this. Now, go over this again for me so I can answer some of these questions to some of my residents. You're telling me that Pinecrest will only have one way in. Is that what you're telling me? One way into the project, yes?
We're saying that that makes sense from a traffic standpoint, and we would recommend doing it that
way,
yes.
Now, will we have this definitively put down somewhere for us on a piece of, are you going to let me know, you know, on a piece of paper, or you're just going to verbalize this? Is this what I'm going to recant to residents? Because I want to know if this is the way it's going to go. There's going to be one way in on the Pinecrest development.
It would be up to the village to approve that.
Okay.
Francis, just to make sure the Pinecrest Street, southern entrance will be one way in, and then there'll be two other driveways.
Coming out on Orange Place.
Right. Well, those will be two-way, both
correct.
In and
yes.
out,
okay.
those driveways.
But so you're clear on the process. Council will be the entity that approves the traffic improvements, and it's going to be contained in the development agreement with the developer. So you will have the control of that aspect of the development.
Okay.
Because it occurs in the right of way.
Thank you.
But
and Walnut and the Walnut Chagrin entrance, there's going to be no exit onto Chagrin. I'm understanding that. Up with the Walnut Hills at the bottom of that development where the residential is going in, right?
Is that true?
The plan shows there will be.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
The plan shows that there's going
to
be.
I just want to make sure that I know what I'm talking about.
There is
from
the
what?
Access from Walnut Hills to Chagrin as there is now.
All right. Okay.
But
now,
it's
what
only
about
for residents?
Residents in there.
What about the two properties where the people have been holding out, and there was some talk about you were going to bypass it or do? How will that impact the traffic? If Pinecrest is only going to be one way in, what are you going to do with those two properties, if at all, or not at all?
I'm not certain I understand the question.
There are two properties on Pinecrest that apparent, as I understand it, that are not in the equation exactly yet. And I don't know how your traffic flow is going to flow around those two properties. Can you answer, Jordan?
I think I can. If those two properties remain outside the scope of the development, they would still have access to Pinecrest. They would make use of the traffic lanes through the shopping center to use those two northern access points onto Orange Place, because they would be limited from the as a result of the one-way entrance as well.
Okay.
So they would follow the main access drive on the perimeter of the shopping center to one of those two other two-way access points.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So you'll have some information about the flow of traffic on Brainerd Road, which is absolutely going to Miles, which is absolutely awful right now. So I don't know. You know, you're going to come up with something more definitive for us,
well,
so that we will
know
what we're looking at.
If it's awful now, then we'll have to, point out that it needs improvements now, and we would have to suggest what those would be. And then
I think you mentioned this before, talking about improvements. Does that mean that Brainerd Road potentially will be widened at any time? Is that in the plan in the next 10 years?
No, it's not in the plan.
Not at all.
We don't think that there's any need for widening.
No, I think where the most problem spot is on Richmond Road turning left onto Harvard. So though that is that right? Those intersections are the worst. No, I know, but when we're talking about expanding outside of just our intersections that we're talking about for the development, are you suggesting that we make suggestions to Beechwood on how to improve getting even more traffic left?
We suggested that for one improvement that the it would be the eastbound left turn lane on Harvard be extended to accommodate the increased traffic at that location.
There's a longer way to back up.
Correct.
They could lengthen the light.
Right.
I mean, the question, I think, is after Harvard gets to Brainerd and becomes a one-lane road going east.
Right.
Right.
You you know, what's going to happen there.
So we don't have the data if it's a A, B, C, D, E, F road, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Because the figures before were not correct.
Oh, Harvard and Brainerd, we have.
Harvard and Lander.
We don't have it for Harvard and Lander, that's correct.
You were just asking.
He was, yeah. We were.
To go to the other intersection.
Right.
All the way up to Miles.
And.
To Miles, right.
And what is the,
Thank you.
In your study, what would be the cutoff for making improvements at what level? A D road, an E road?
E.
E?
Yeah. If the intersection is at level of service E, then we have to find some way to mitigate that.
Okay. Interesting. Mrs. Cluter, do you have any more?
No, I've got, that's enough for me to digest.
Mr. Alfred?
Thank you.
Not at the moment.
So
I do have just one bit of clarity on the two driveways, if you will, the north and south, you know, driveways to Orange Place. You were recommending that there be lights at both of those?
We are.
Okay, and at the moment, the plan was those driveways were both
stop sign or a roundabout.
And they're both two lanes in and out? Do you remember how it was drawn up? I don't recall.
Top of my head.
I think they're one lane.
Let me just double check that.
That's fine.
We're finding only a single lane is necessary coming out.
A single lane coming out.
That's all that's necessary. Now, whether the developer chooses to put in a left turn lane, it would work better. But it still works at level service C with a single lane out.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
If you're saying it's going to be a single lane service level C, obviously you made a projection of cars.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about in the design year, within 20 years, 30th highest hour, for a 15-minute period, for a cycle of the traffic signal. Okay, so we're looking at a little minute time period, which is the worst case scenario. Now, as you greatly expand that to look over an hour, to look over a 24 hours, to look over a year, yeah, those numbers look huge. But on a cycle-by-cycle basis, when you go through a traffic signal, you expect not to be delayed. That requires you to sit through a traffic signal twice. When you get the green light, you want to be able to go and get through that intersection. And we're telling you that with this, with the improvements that we're suggesting, and with this development plan, that's what you will have.
Okay.
Can I make one more request and suggestion? If, you know, if and hopefully when you get us this data on what I'm asking for,
right?
If you can make sure you submit it to council more than the day of the meeting so that we have time to actually look at this ahead of time. You know, it's kind of been
it's preferable to get it even on Monday.
I'm just saying it's kind of been a norm that we get these things and, you know, we have to show up to the meeting and try to flip through pages right away, and it gets annoying, honestly. So,
well, with the complexity of the issues here, it generally takes a lot longer than just a week to be able to.
Which is understandable and fine, but I would just ask like some type of update progress
right.
Or whatever. But you know, if it's going to take exactly the 7 days or whatever it is, that's
we'll
a coincidence that's been happening too much.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. Well, I have one question too on when we looked at the traffic study a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You said that certain numbers were not correct.
That's correct. That was at the intersection of Chagrin and Orange Place.
Okay, great. Have you changed those? And I haven't seen any changes. Is that what you sent to Mr. Mader?
That's what we have sent over to Mr. Mader to review to make sure that he agrees with what our evaluation says.
Great, because I thought that graph, those comparing those two were the most telling on how the traffic was going to flow through those intersections on the grades and, mm-hmm. and things. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, too. And I don't have any more questions. Does anybody else, before I turn this over to some other people? Yes, Mr. Bonk?
We're staying on topic. We're just going to a different subject.
I just want to give council members a chance first. All right, great. Mr. Mader, do you have any comments regarding what's been changed yet?
At this time, no. I just got it this afternoon.
Understandable. And hopefully in the future, you professionals can get us information. Monday's preferable. So I know it's putting a lot of work at the end of the work week. It gives you Thursday, Friday. But the sooner we can get it, the sooner we can then ask intelligent questions. It's very difficult to wait week after week for the same information.
Understood and agreed. This was a little bit of a strange circumstance because I think Mr. Mader's letter arrived to Mr. Schweikert on Wednesday. We had the holiday, and so
yes.
Mr. Schweikert was trying to get
I'm going
to
interject here, and maybe I'm just crabby today, but this there's an excuse for everything, and everything comes in the day of our council meetings.
Shouldn't happen. No excuse.
Right, and we
shouldn't
say
happen.
But this conversation happens every single council meeting. This is old. I'm tired of it. Everybody's tired of it.
And in all honesty,
let's just for the
I'm not asking for apologies.
No,
I just want
that's it.
I just want it to be better. That's all I'm asking.
Me too.
That's all we're all asking.
Me too. It will.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
We did ask this question 2 weeks ago. So
no. Understood.
I ask it every week.
Here, I don't want to belabor the point. You want information in a more timely fashion, you will get it.
Thank you.
Period.
Thank you. Great. Mr. Hart, welcome back. Would you like to add anything to our discussion tonight? Would you mind using the mic, please? Thank you.
I guess not on the traffic, but if you have any questions for me, I will be
yes.
happy to answer them.
Well, this revised July 3rd edition that we got in our most recent packet, that is the final document?
So,
yes.
Yeah, so which one is? I have several copies.
It is
we
the
have
one.
The red line version, and that's the final document, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it different than the July 3rd?
Well, you
that's
had,
what I couldn't.
You, last week, right after the ordinance was recommended to council, you got the clean copy. And then subsequent to that, the next day, I believed you got the track change version as well. From the goes back to June 12th, the changes from the June 12th draft that you received.
Well, I just noticed that page that you had inserted at our last gathering around the table here with the numbers in the various PDs, you know, the 1 through 6 areas marked.
With acreage and dimensions?
No, just so we know which one reading, someone reading the document does not know which of these boxes is P1, which one is PD2, so forth. So you had inserted a page,
yes.
if you recall. But now I don't see that here. And again, we're presented with something where you have PD1 through 6, but I can't tell you which box is PD1 and which one's. I mean, I can maybe perhaps having looked at it enough to know, but I'm just saying that the document should be a little. That's what I'm saying. It didn't make it. I mine anyway.
In
mine,
on the black version, not the red line version.
Well, this is what came most recently.
It's
so
right, because they asked us for the red line version to see. We needed something.
Oh, okay. All right. If that's
it's
that's
there.
What led me to ask you whether there were any other changes that somehow hadn't or had or had not yet gotten into. This
version. On the most recent insert. We got last week. How large is the parking structure? It just says 500 spaces.
I don't know.
I mean, it's are we inching up to 500,000 square feet of construction now?
I'm sorry. You'd like to know the square footage of the deck?
I mean, which was my first question. It doesn't. The first question I asked: what is the ratio of green space to total project space? It's just 500 spaces.
Okay, I'm sorry. Your question's a little complex. I want to try to answer it accurately. Ratio of square footage to green space. Are you talking about footprints?
Because the first question I asked when this project started was how much green space we had. I see we added a parking garage. What is the footprint of the parking garage?
Okay. Give me a second. I don't have it. I can't spit that.
It wasn't on this one.
I can't spit the number out.
Isn't the parking garage always there?
Immediately here.
In PD4 behind?
I think I've got it dimensioned.
Yeah, he should. No, I know, but I mean. We just.
That question I can't answer.
Okay. Because I did miss something last week.
The parking garage became part of the project in conjunction with the revision of the site plan to expand and include the Super 8 property. So it's been on the site plan since, as part of the expansion to include that property. It wasn't in the original site plan because that site plan didn't include that property since then, and this is part of what the traffic engineer was addressing, was some of the changes to the traffic flow as a result of the change in the site plan. That's another feature in the change of the site plan as a result of the expansion of the project.
And who would primarily be parking there?
That
customers
would,
or employees,
sure.
Or everybody?
Probably a mix.
Because there's not enough parking below?
To maximize the space for parking without taking up more of the square footage. It's a more
so we're going up.
Use of the square footage.
The village has suggested that we try to utilize parking decks as a means to minimize the footprint area that is used for parking. Answer your question, the deck is approximately 150,000 square feet total, 50,000 a floor.
Okay, so it's an additional 50,000 square feet,
right,
of concrete from
yeah, of impervious, correct.
But that does that reduce then the parking lot, or is that an addition?
It's a way to get more cars on a smaller footprint. It's a way to park more cars in a smaller footprint, disturbing, having less overall impervious surface.
Okay, is it reducing the parking lot as I've seen it?
Reducing the overall area of the parking lot, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Does that change the drainage? Wetlands issue?
No, I don't think it changes the drainage, the storm drainage.
No.
I mean, this plan, every time we meet, has a new little feature, benefit. And it's very hard for us to, when we're given this, and we just got additional paperwork just now.
Let me comment on that, Mr. Bonk, because now the plan is fixed by the action of the Planning and Zoning Commission last Wednesday night, which was approving the preliminary development plan concurrently with passing the ordinance on to, with a recommendation of the ordinance to you. So any changes now are subject to an official action by the village to that preliminary.
Well, that's an issue in the agreement, how the process of it, whether it's changed administratively or council, that's a major discussion as far as I'm concerned, but that's fine. So go from there.
Okay, great. Does anybody else have any questions?
No, I just want to make a statement.
Any other comments on this topic?
On something to do with this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something to do with, well,
whatever.
The project.
Yes, of course.
Have to be
of course.
Just on parking.
PD6. Where's Dave Hart? Waterford Court, the residents, everybody's very, very content with PD6 and the buffer
that
you've recommended.
Well, the parameters of PD6 are obviously set forth in the ordinance. The preliminary development plan that was approved by the Planning Commission Planning and Zoning Commission last week did not approve the landscape plan for PD 6 because the revised plan that was being proposed by the applicant did not meet the submission requirements to judge, did not meet the submission requirements for a landscape plan in the PD 6 area. So that is still subject to review by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Up to when? Up to next when?
Up until they're satisfied.
The landscape plan remains a work in progress with the landscape architect engaged by the residents of Waterford Court working on that plan. We hope to have that plan on Friday, all along since before we appeared before council. We explained that the goal here was to listen to the residents of Waterford Court, understand their concerns, and do what was necessary to address those concerns. That remains the plan here. The design of the mound was undertaken by that landscape architect. Sight line drawings were generated to confirm that it would prevent from view any of the development to his satisfaction. And now the next step after the design of that is to come up with a landscape plan that works, that makes sense, that makes this a natural looking buffer so that it will be pleasing to the adjacent property owners, will satisfy their concerns that they're not looking at a mound out their back windows, and also that they're not looking at a such a dense forest of trees that it feels like they're in the Black Forest. So that's the balancing act that landscape architect that they've engaged is undertaking now, and our plan remains to do what we can to satisfy those concerns. I can't say, one of my neighbors from Waterford is here. I'm not sure that everybody on Waterford has the same view of the project, but our view is to satisfy the concerns of all of the residents, and that remains the goal here. And the landscape plan, I hope, is the last bit of that. And again, the way that we're going to address those concerns remains what it's been since the inception here. The zoning code addresses some of those issues. It mandates that the development not be visible from the second floor of any home on Waterford. The mound itself takes care of that. The zoning code also requires a landscape plan. David Hart was just talking about that. That landscape plan is going to be per the design of the landscape architect by agreement of the parties. So we're going to work together to find an acceptable landscape plan. And that's all going to be embodied in couple more documents that we've been talking about, the development agreement and a declaration of restrictions that's going to dictate the way in which the mound is going to be built and the landscaping is going to be built and how it's going to be maintained and all of that. So that's been the plan from the get-go. That's still the plan. We've just got a couple of more steps to work out.
Yes, Mr. Bong.
I have a question for the law director. When I was reading this 7.3 document, there was references to section 1143.03, and it says each applicant shall submit to the building commissioner 6 copies of a preliminary development plan and shall be reviewed by the building commissioner, village engineer, and planning and zoning commission. Submittals shall be at least 10 working days prior to the meeting which the plan will be reviewed by the commission and accompanied by the fee to council. Okay. The earliest date of this plan, which was voted on the 3rd, was the 21st, which doesn't make 10 days, working days. We have a revision notice from the architect that came in and said, this is a revision to the plans developed on the 28th, and our copy of the ordinance was the 3rd. Do we meet the requirements of the village? I mean, the plans were obviously not submitted 10 working days in advance.
The plans that were in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission that they voted on they did not object to the timing of it. And they are the ones who have...
Were they aware of it?
They wrote it.
They had the opportunity to object to it if they chose to do so.
So you're saying that that the Planning and Zoning Commission can ignore they have the ability to ignore their own rules?
They have control of their agenda, yes, absolutely.
The zoning code doesn't exist yet.
Pardon?
That's 1143.
1143.03.
Oh, that's not this?
So they actively chose, or were they even informed of this, that it had to be presented 10 days in advance?
Mm. There was nobody who objected.
Okay, so this idea that we have these guys give us drop stuff information off, and they didn't object to the lack of timing?
There have been very vocal people here objecting to the timing issue. Planning and zoning didn't raise those same objections.
And they can arbitrarily ignore the village's charter.
It's not arbitrary. They have control over the agenda. They have the ability to consider what matters they are going to rule on.
Could you explain where they have this authority that overrides the charter?
In the absence of an objection, Commission can rule on matters that come before them. Those are things that have been on the agenda for months.
I'm satisfied. Does anybody else have any questions? And no.
I just have a comment. In the spirit of even-handedness, I will say that, and without suggesting that my devotion to duty is any greater than anyone else on this council, I was down in Columbus over the holiday weekend, and I did attend, I did go to AMC's dine-in theater experience. I don't know if that's something that you guys were, whether the theater here is going to emulate it in exactly the same fashion, but I will say it was a very interesting experience because they have a couple of theaters among the 20 that they have that are designed in a stadium fashion, and it allows you to sit in a very comfortable reclining chair, recliner like a Barca lounger practically, order your meal from a full menu, including drinks of various kinds and desserts and so on and so forth, and basically eat your meal and be served by a dining staff while you are watching the movie. I mean, it's really kind of a fascinating experience. I'm not sure that anybody would do it twice. I think it's definitely a novelty that they will do. The people that I was with said something like, there were those who said, well, we'd rather watch the movie and then go out to eat. And then there were those who said, well, we'd rather eat first and then go to the movie. But AMC is obviously trying to get you to not only buy tickets to the movie, but also buy your meal from them. Very clever, I think, in large part. And it's kind of an interesting experience. Is that what you mean when you talk about the dine-in experience, some version of that? Because I know they've done it in about a half a dozen, maybe a dozen places around the country, not in Cleveland yet.
It's not likely to be AMC.
I'm sorry?
It's not likely to be AMC, but you are hoping on the right track.
Really?
Definitely.
Well,
it's what we're looking for. It's a huge trend. Companies, if they're not in it, they're getting all of them.
Are they? Well, it was full. The room I was in, it was full, and I, as I say, the comments afterward were kind of like, it's a great thing to try once, but I'm not sure if that's the way I really want to go to the movies. But at least I can say I experienced it. And if anybody has any questions, I love the Lone Ranger. Thank you. All right.
It's good to hear that there's innovative things coming. Mrs. Cluter?
This is just a statement, actually. Going through use regulations, 1175.05, one of the permitted uses, sporting goods stores, and it troubles me because it says not only that there can't be more than two such stores within 30-mile radius, it goes on to talk about the sale of firearms and ammunition that shall not comprise more than 20% of the sales floor. I asked the Lord Director for an opinion on the actual sale of guns and he gave it to me, and it's on your desk tonight. You probably haven't had a chance to read it. If you would care to read it, thank you, Steve.
Where was it?
It came, I just passed
it
out tonight.
It's somewhere in my papers. I did see it. Thank you.
Read it carefully, because it looks as though it will be a permitted use. But as a mother and as a grandmother, as I was telling Jordan last week, I'm very troubled with this. It looks as though my hands are possibly going to be tied. But morally, I just find it very difficult. And yet there'll be people in the community who are hunters who think it's great. And then you're going to have the other people who say, no, we don't want this. So I have no idea where this is going. I'm glad I got the opinion, though, because the Lord Rector is very helpful and has guided me through this. But it's a moral issue for me. So I have to weigh this up in my own head, especially in view of Sandy Hook, as I was telling Jordan last week. And I support the parents who lost their small children. And I just want to know that guns potentially will be coming to Orange Village via a hunting store. So.
Great. And the mayor's also reminded me that last week there was some discussion from you all regarding questions that maybe the police chief could answer for us. Can anybody fill me in on what those concerns were?
There were questions about the facility structure, questions about whether we were going to have more crime, questions about why we... Who was going to stop the underage people from the movie theater? Questions about will we have more staffing because of the satellite facility? I mean, there were numerous questions that I kept saying, wait till the chief's here, wait till the chief's here. And now both chiefs are here, the fire and police
Great.
Chief.
So let's bring up those concerns again, if you have them.
It was, I think it was Ed who... about the...
And Chief, if you could come to the mic to answer them, that would be helpful. Thank you.
The mayor gave a summary. There was a collective bunch of questions. But
well, let's give it to him one at a time so he can answer, unless you want to
answer
them all in one answer.
I think you, Lisa, you even asked what's the capital cost that we're going to have to do to furnish it.
Yes, I did, and I thought I got an answer when I asked a few weeks ago that we would eventually hire one officer if I was... not mistaken?
The mayor had asked me at build out what I thought we might need, and we thought that the most that we would need are two more full-time equivalent officers.
Two more?
And why don't you let the fire chief also answer?
Can you please come up here too, please, Bob, and give us some information on the fire department's perspective, please? Thank you.
Same question?
Yeah.
We would need a minimum of at least one more person to staff between whatever hours we pick, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. or whenever we find the busy time to be at the facility.
And you'd have one man staffing who would be stationed up there?
Well, we have three people on staff. We would have one more that would make four. We would leave four at this station and two to man a squad up there.
Great.
For how many hours a day?
We would probably do it for 12 hours a day. We would have to pick which 12 hours we do, whether it's 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. or noon to 12.
So you got 84 hours, so you need two full-time equivalents?
We just need one 12-hour person 7 days a week.
But over a course of a week for you to hire.
Correct.
So you need two full-time equivalents. 12 times 7 is 84.
Okay. I mean, we wouldn't need to hire but, a few people, not two full-timers, just part-timers.
Full-time equivalents, 84 hours. And the chief is the same number?
Well, it would be 80. Right.
And the question was, Lisa asked, was also, what would the capital cost of furnishing and installing whatever we need there? Or is it going to just be physically moving current assets around?
I haven't got that far yet. We would have a little bit of capital, whether we need beds or stuff of that nature, but to actually put a cost on it, I couldn't put a cost on it right now. We would be moving a squad from here up there. We would need a table and stuff like that, but exactly.
You're saying it's immaterial, the capital?
Yes, it wouldn't be amount to much.
And for the police?
A couple pens, a pad of paper, I think we'll be all right.
Okay. We have enough vehicles.
We don't need any more cars, right?
No. I do remember a question. I may have asked it, and I apologize, but if there is a private security firm up there, is it necessary to increase the police presence at our end necessarily? Because I guess the reason I ask that is when we were talking about Eaton and assuming Woodmere's issues, we weren't really talking about hiring on a lot of extra people, or two extra people,
well,
or four
two,
extra people.
I don't
people.
Consider two to be a lot, but nevertheless, the private security has very limited police powers. And the thing, if it's a shoplifter, all they can do is hold them until the police get there. If it's an automobile accident, they can just get some information until the police get there. What they do is they're like a buffer until the police get there. So it really doesn't, they can maybe do something, walk through for a business that we wouldn't have to do if they have somebody suspicious inside.
And but they kind of drive around parking lots just to, and just their presence probably stops some of break-ins and stuff like that.
Should there be calls for service, we're still going to have
them.
Right. We're still going to have to do it.
Okay. Anybody else? Questions for our two professionals here?
In terms of the number of places that are going to be serving full alcoholic beverages, is this going to present any problem for the community?
I don't know what kind of places you guys open. Is there going to be like Jello wrestling and stuff like that? That could be an issue. I don't see that it's going to be tremendously different anytime there's alcohol involved. Obviously, there's a little bit more of an opportunity for calls for service. But it's like there's a lot of alcohol served on Orange Place as it is. It's not unusual.
It's really a function of the place it's served in. Is that what you're saying? It's more a function of the place it's served in that it's likely to give rise to a police call.
I would suggest that the type of place that's serving the alcohol.
I mean, there's a big difference of us putting a Shooters into this than putting, you know, a Red kind of restaurant.
I agree with you.
All right.
Anybody else? Well, thank you very much for helping us answer some of our questions. All right, before we call this discussion to an end, does anybody else want to ask any more questions to any of the professionals here tonight? Great. Then let's move on in our agenda to committee reports by council members. Let's start with you, Mrs. Cluder.
No committee report. Well, there will be if the traffic gets resolved or doesn't get resolved on Pinecrest. That would be a whole new job for the person who is in charge of roads.
Yes.
No.
Thank you. Mr. Alfred?
No reports.
The committee report. Mr. Huber?
Spoke again with Matt Hills from Banky regarding potential funding sources for the multi-use trails and just going a little bit further in it, and he's looking at funding sources, and hopefully will be getting back to us again in the near future with some options.
Thank you all for coming tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Duber.
That's
so that's very exciting, I think. So, thank you. Mr. Bong, any committee report?
No comment.
Mr. Braverman?
No, I have no report this evening.
Great, and neither do I. So next we'll move on to audience comments relating to matters which advance the good of the village. I'd appreciate anybody who wants to speak to please come to the microphone, state your name, your address if you're a resident, and let us know what you're thinking. Thank you, Mr. Gottlieb.
Yes, I'm Jerry Gottlieb. I live on Waterford Court. I just wanted to address Mrs. Cluder's question about how the residents feel on Waterford Court about this development. A lot of residents are still not in favor of this. And our biggest concern is that we don't want to hear anything, see anything, or smell anything. Well, the buffer that's being built, and our landscape architect, Craig Horst, designed the original landscaping plan, which the developer didn't want to do. We're still negotiating with him on that. We're still waiting to hear the sound study that was done months ago. And I was told what my sound level was because they did one in my backyard, one in one of my neighbor's backyards, and we're still waiting to get the results of that. And we're still not sold on this, and we're still not in favor of it. So if you, I just want to answer your questions since everybody answered the questions, so.
Do you know, just in general, you know, the with the population of Waterford, you know, like ballpark, what percentage is in favor or against? Or if you don't know, I mean, you don't know, it's not a big deal.
As far as I know, there's anybody on the street that I talked about.
Can you use the microphone, please?
Outside of Jordan, who is in favor of this, I'm not sure where his wife stands on it, but I know he's in favor, but I think that might be a house divided, but there's really nobody that I've talked to that said, oh yeah, rah, 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 we want to see this done. Obviously, it's impacting our homes, our home values a lot, but I also think it's going to impact the village. I know myself, I'm a runner. I like running down Brainerd to Chagrin up Orange Place, and that's not going to be happening anymore.
I'm working on it.
I hope so. But I really have not talked to anybody on the street that's in favor of it.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Gottlieb. Anybody else like to speak? Council? Yes, Sissa.
And I apologize, I had to step out for a moment just to talk to one of the professionals who needed to leave. I haven't attempted to speak for any of my neighbors. I don't think it'd be appropriate. And as I think some of the members of council know, some of the members of the administration know, we've been engaged in as I've described, a protracted effort to meet with folks who live on Waterford, hear their concerns, try and address their concerns, and really make this an enhancement to the street. This is a challenging issue, and I've spoken separately with some of you, but let me speak a little bit to the issue on a broader subject. I can't think of a place in the world that is a finished product, and certainly Orange is not a finished product. It's a work in progress. There are older parts of Orange. There are newer parts of Orange. There are parts that are state of the art and parts that are not. The folks who live on Pinecrest, and I've talked to any number of them, built their homes, bought their homes for the most part, when Pinecrest was a very different street than it is today. When they built their homes, and many of the folks who built their homes still live on Pinecrest, it was a rural, quiet street, wooded on all sides. It's changed. It's changed as a result of the construction of Waterford Court. There was woods and orchards there before. It's changed certainly as a result of the construction of Orange Place. And it's changed as a result of the interchange. It's of a very different character. And the fact is that that change is unlikely to stop. The homes there are lovely homes, some of them, but they're not the best cared for homes in Orange Village. They have septic systems that are failing and need to be replaced. And they have folks who live there who don't see them as desirable homes to continue to live in, or don't see them being sold for a price that's gonna make them very happy. The question is what ought to happen there? That's the question that to some degree faces everybody in the village. Right now it faces this council. And what Dave Lewanski has proposed is a way to utilize property that was once entirely suitable for residential use but may not be any longer, and to do it in a way that buffers the adjacent properties on Waterford in a manner that no properties anywhere that anybody can identify have ever been buffered, with a mound and an expanse of green space that no developer has ever created in conjunction with any development. And it's there solely to protect the homes on Waterford from any impact of that. The effect of that, hopefully, beyond simply protecting them is, like I said a moment ago, enhancing them.
Can I ask you, sorry to interrupt, yeah. But and I'm not asking for your address, but where are you in the scheme of Waterford?
I live on the east side of the street, across One house down and across from Jerry.
Okay, but are you, and I don't know where you live either.
He lives on the west side.
Are you close? Are you close? Okay, so you're, okay, so you guys are backing up towards Pinecrest.
Opposite sides of the street.
You're not towards the front at the Brainerd, like right at Brainerd?
No.
Okay, all right.
Jerry's house.
Okay, yeah, all right.
And as I've said to people before, neighbors and others on the street, and others in the community, Waterford, as lovely as a street as it is a little bit of an enclave. It's surrounded by homes that are of a different character than the homes on Waterford. That's fine. That's not a bad thing. Diversity in the homes that exist in any area is a good thing. But the way in which those homes abut each other can sometimes be problematic. You have homes on Waterford that are on large lots. You have homes on Pinecrest that are on large lots. Some of them have outbuildings that are close to the property line. Some of them have backs of homes that aren't all that attractive. There's not a lot of landscape buffer there. The goal in this development, in part, is to create the landscape buffer that isn't on Waterford unless folks have done it on their own property. It's to put that landscape buffer on the Pinecrest side of the property, if you will, and enhance and effectively extend the yards of the people who are on whose homes are on Waterford. That's the net effect of that buffering, and to make what happens as part of this development invisible. Are there other things that could happen on Pinecrest? Of course, that could be redeveloped as homes. The homes that are there could stay. They could continue to deteriorate, or maybe they'd be improved. It's anybody's guess what would happen. Could it be rezoned for some other purpose? Higher density homes, apartments. Could be, and it could be that another developer could come before you and ask for some other kind of development and not propose the kind of buffering that Dave Lewansky has proposed here. And that may be even more objectionable to some people on Waterford and some of you. I can't tell you what the future holds for this area other than change, because it's very unlikely that these homes that are 50 plus years are going to continue to be in the same condition they are, and you've got folks who want to sell their homes and move out and don't want to live there anymore. And that's the challenge here. That's the challenge to the council. That's the challenge to the community. How to do this properly, how to do it in an effective way that honors.
I think you just need to be careful, though. This is, you know, these are all public records, and you're saying that some of these people don't want to live there. And, you know, obviously for a price tag, there's everything, you know, has a price tag. But, you know, I think it might be a mischaracterization to say that these people don't want to live there, because, you know, these are homes that, you know, you know, despite what anybody's income level is, you know, they, you know, these are good people and they still love their homes.
They are
and,
good.
And, you know, I just want to. I just don't want anything to come off wrong.
I don't mean to denigrate any of the people. They are good people. And you've heard from a couple of them in these council meetings, and I suspect in the next few council meetings you'll hear from more of them. And what you will hear is the neighborhood isn't what it was.
They're in a little different position, though, which you would agree that, you know, they're coming in here with an offer on a house that is well above market value. And so, you know, If you guys went to them with market value, this probably wouldn't be happening. And, you
and,
know,
and then we might be having a different discussion.
The only reason they're not getting market value is because, you know, they did like their homes and do like their homes for what it is. So it's just, you know, I just want to.
And that's, again, that's the challenge. The market value has declined. It's declined because of the economy. It's declined because of the exposure of the houses to the interchange. It's declined because of their proximity to Orange Place. It's declined
for a
whole host of reasons.
Yeah.
I think this
and that's the challenge here, again, is given that, given that this is a declining area. One of my appraiser friends likes to say, property values either increase, decrease, or stay the same, and if they stay the same, that's not going to last for very long. This is an area that is in most measures, in decline. And
currently? In home values?
The Pinecrest area.
Oh, just the Pinecrest area.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. All right.
I'm talking about that street.
Okay.
And the challenge that street creates in terms of planning, mm-hmm. how to better utilize that than it's being used in currently. This is a proposal to do that that does something very, very significant to protect the adjacent properties.
I'm going to call point of order and let Mr. Burns have his time to make his statement since we had our opportunity to ask questions earlier. Thank you. This is
pretty well had his 2 minutes.
Yes, you have had your 2 minutes, but thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
What I did want to say, though, was while you stepped out of the room, Mr. Gottlieb did ask for if there was a sound study that was available.
There is a sound study that is, I believe, that it remains prepared that measures the current sound levels. Part of the little bit of a disconnect here is during the process before the Planning Commission, the timing for the preparation of the sound study changed. Originally, a sound study was to be provided to the village in conjunction with the preliminary development plan, the plan that's been submitted to the village. That changed so that it would be submitted both a baseline study, a pre-development study, and a post-development study to be submitted with the final development plan. That took the sound study a little bit off of the rails that had been in plan, but it's still in the works, and the preliminary one will be shared with the village.
Great. Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about. That would be the baseline one. That's the only one that will be prepared now. I haven't talked with the engineer who was performing.
Can you just get an approximate for us from the engineer when you get a chance?
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for your comments. Are there any other members of the audience who would like to comment tonight? Okay, great. Then we'll move on to comments by council members. I'll start with you, Mr. Duber.
I've spoken enough tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Bond?
I keep listening to these discussions, and I keep hearing the issue of Waterford Court, which is very important. However, lots of people are going to be impacted by this. Harvard residents, Brainerd residents, Lander Road residents, and I believe even Orange Tree Drive is going to be, if the car counts are as high, because the traffic flow is going to go through there, let alone Miles, Emery, and all the other streets. And the focus has been by the village on one section, which is very good, but there are other places that are going to be adversely impacted. You talked about property values in Pinecrest going down. I don't see how thousands of additional cars are going to enhance anybody's property on any of the thoroughfares that funnel into there, and the sound barrier and the traffic. And I think we have been, if anything, as a body, not taking the right picture of looking at the impact other than the immediate focus of ingress and egress on Pinecrest, because we do have other residents who are going to be impacted. I mean, Brainerd and Harvard is going to be a nightmare, and based on the green map of where your customers are coming from, it's very hard to believe that it's not.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Bonk and Mr. Braverman.
I just have a couple things to say. First, one of them is kind of a response to the little exchange.